Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
If I was to ask you in one sentence, what is God's purpose for your life? I want you to think of the answer. Don't shout it out, but think of the answer. Those of you who've been roughy this week will know the answer. How would you state what God's purpose is for your life? Not your ministry, but His purpose. As the New Testament reveals it. The answer is in four words. To be like Jesus. How many, apart from those of you who are at Roffey, got it right? One, two. Well, that's confirmation as to why I'm preaching this message this morning. In that case, this is God's purpose for us. To be like Jesus. Just listen to these scriptures. You needn't turn to them all now. Those He foreknew, He also predestined. That's us, isn't it? He called us, He chose us. Yes? Hello? Yes. But what did He predestine us for? What did He call us for? What did He choose us for? To be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Why did He call you? Why did He choose you? Why did He predestine you in love? To be like Jesus. Then we can see that Paul says that just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, of Adam, in our fallen nature, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. We are to do that to a certain measure now, and of course, when we go to heaven, we will be like him perfectly. And then Paul, writing to the Corinthians in his second letter, says, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. Now he's talking to every Christian. Not talking about some spiritual elite. He's saying, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So you see, the whole of God's purpose, he says, is to transform us into his likeness. The word there that is translated transformed is the same word in the Greek that is used when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples on the mountain. You remember? He shone with the glory of God. His human body was transformed into his glorious body. Now, that could happen to him because he was without sin. But there was a transfiguration. There was a complete change that came over Jesus. And what Paul is saying to the Corinthians is that same change is to be happening in our lives from one degree of glory to another, literally from glory to glory. So God's purpose is that our lives become more and more glorious. Now, what Jesus accomplished when he died on the cross was our access into the glory of God. Now, this is just a visual representation. Let me tell you that the throne of God is absolutely nothing like this. The throne of God isn't a seat anyway, is it? But that symbolizes for us this morning the glory of God. This, therefore, is the place of glory. This is the Holy of Holies. These chairs represent the doorway or the gateway into the glory. Now, we know that all this was signified in the temple in Jerusalem. And when Jesus died on the cross, the great curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place was torn asunder. And so the writer to Hebrews says that we are to come with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith, right the way into this place of glory, into the Holy of Holies, when we pray and when we worship, because Jesus has opened up the way with his body. So the place that God wants us to be in and to know that we have the right to be there is in this place, in the glory, and in the Holy of Holies. Now, there's some very interesting things about that place. It's possible to worship out here, possible even to worship over there somewhere, where you're nowhere near the presence of God, at least to sing songs to him. But here, you see, the place of glory is filled with this incredible light. So we could say that this space here is the room next to the glory. And what God wants for us to do every Sunday when we're here, and even at home when you worship and pray, is for you to know that you can go right into this place, into the Holy of Holies, into the place of glory, and there meet as if you were face to face with the Lord. Now, I'm going to show you how to do that this morning. And then we're going to do it, and we're going to do it every week. All right? Okay, now, one of the most amazing things, I'm not going to keep going to the Bible, I'm going to quote the scriptures so we can pack in the time available, all that I need to say. What the scripture reveals to us is that when we're in this place, we are perfect. We are made perfect. That we are clothed with Christ, so God regards us as perfect. The writer to Hebrews says that those who are being made holy have been made perfect forever. Not will be, but have been. So when we stand in this place, he sees us without sin, without need, able to have complete fellowship, communion, unity with him. In other words, he sees nothing wrong with you. We are, the scripture says, blameless in his sight. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a good place to be in. But we have to get from this place next to the glory, the room next to the glory, into the glory. Now, God taught me all this stuff many years ago, and he used an illustration at that time, saying that most Christians, even those that know how to worship the Lord, are content to stay in the room next to the glory rather than move right into the glory. You see, this glory is just magnificent, glorious, splendorous light. So this light streams through the open way that Jesus has made into the room next to the glory. So you can be here and conscious of the presence of God, of the holiness of God, of the glory of God. That's a good place to be in. We often actually touch that place. But that's not the same as being in this place where you can just know your complete unity with God and He sees nothing wrong. Are there any believers this morning? Okay. So we want to get to this place where, if you like, prophetically, we can see ourselves already as like Christ. Like a prophetic foretelling of what we will be like permanently when we go to be with the Lord. So these would be precious moments, wouldn't they? Now, what hinders people from getting to here, from here to here? Well, a whole number of things. If being in this place, we are like Jesus, then we have to ask ourselves a question here. Do I want to be like Jesus? Now, that's a very, very interesting question. And questions are to be answered honestly. And I think if we were honest, we would say, well, in some ways, I want to be like Jesus. Jesus knew the Father. I want to be like Jesus. I want to know the Father like Jesus knew the Father. Amen. Say, well, Jesus was a man of power. And he could heal the sick and perform miracles. I'd like to be like Jesus. After all, he says those who believe in him would do the same things as he did. So I'd like to be like Jesus in that sense. Jesus was the man of love. Yes, I'd like to be like Jesus was the man of joy. Yes, I'd like to be Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Yes, I'd like to be like Jesus, have that peace, have that love, have that joy. Jesus was the man of mercy, of forgiveness. Yes, I'd like to be able to forgive even those that do things to me. So I didn't get all negative inside. Yes, I'd like to be like Jesus, always merciful, always forgiving. And so on. We can see, yeah, there's many ways. He was the man of compassion. Yes, I'd like to have compassion, but not too much compassion, because if I had too much compassion, I'd have to do too much to help other people, and that might be a little bit inconvenient. So I'd like to be like Jesus with that kind of compassion and that kind of love when it's not too demanding. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? But then there are other ways which I don't think we really want to be like Jesus. Because Jesus was radical. For example, Jesus had a radical view of sin. Now, we think of sin as being unfortunate. An unfortunate byproduct of having to live our Christian lives in a sinful world. But praise God, He forgives our sins through His precious blood. So if I sin, it's not too serious because God will forgive me. That's not quite how Jesus looked at it. He says, if your hand or if your foot sins, cut it off. It will be better to enter into life maimed or lame than to go with two hands or two feet into the fire of hell. Now that's radical. That is a radical view of sin. You know, sin with your sexual organs, cut them off. That's the kind of thing he would be saying. It sounds radical to me. he says the eye is the light of the body. In other words, your body will be full of light if you use your eyes correctly. But he says, if you misuse your eyes, you are full of darkness, and how deep that darkness is. And then he says later, so if you misuse your eye, pluck it out and throw it away. Be better to enter into life blind than to go to the fire of hell with two eyes. It's radical. But this is the Lord who we worship every Sunday, because he is the truth. So there's a sense in which we want to be like Jesus, but not too much like Jesus, because he was so radical. He was radical in what he said about being a disciple. You can't be my disciple if you don't hate yourself. You can't be my disciple if you love your mother, father, wife, children, anybody else more than me. You can't be my disciple. It's radical. You can only be my follower if you're prepared to deny yourself, take up your cross, and come with me. Radical. So here is God making it very clear that his purpose is that we should be changed into his likeness. But there's quite a bit about us that is not too happy that that should happen too much, too fully. We'd like, a little bit of comfortable compromise. But you see, in this place, there is no sin. In this place, there is no sickness. In this place, there is no fear. There's nothing negative. And God wants us to keep entering this place so that more and more of that glory transfigures us, transforms us into his likeness. Why? Because the more you encounter the Lord like that, the more he actually changes your desires, your whole aspect, understanding of your life, of his call, of what he wants. Now, of course, we know that Jesus doesn't literally mean that we're to defigure our bodies. We know that he doesn't want us to be full of venomous hatred towards ourselves and towards our loved ones. So why does he use such extreme language? Because all sin is the totally opposite of the likeness of God. In him there is no sin. Everything that is dark is totally the opposite of him, because he is light. And when he sent his Son, he sent him as the light of the world, and he is the light of life, we read in John chapter 1. So all sin and all darkness is the very opposite. Doesn't matter how small the sin, how great the sin, it's all the opposite of God's will for his people to be like him. And he didn't send his Son to die on the cross just that we might be forgiven, but that we might be like him. Now you see, if this is the place of glory, if this is the holy presence of God, if this is the place that we are supposed to pass into, two things are necessary. First of all, we need to want to do that, so that everything here in the room next to the glory that is not like him is dealt with in our lives. And that he can impress himself on us more and more. Because you've probably discovered by now, you can't change yourself. And you see, what Paul says is we are being changed into his likeness. He's the one who does it, and he does it by the Spirit, he says. But God will not do, even God, I mean, this is one of the amazing things about God. He will not do anything in your life without your permission. He will never overrule your will. He always waits for you to give him permission. Okay, so let's see what the problem is. Well, this is the problem. That most people live like this. Some Christians even live like this. And as soon as anything of the glory begins to stream through that doorway, they feel so unworthy, so inadequate, so negative about themselves, they feel, well, I better stay here. There's no way that I can get into that place. There's no way that I deserve to be in that place. There's no way that God would welcome me into that place so near his throne. So I'll just stay in this place, and I've got no great ideas about myself. I just know I'm one of God's little ones, and yeah, praise God, he loves me, and yes, praise God, he has saved me, and yes, praise God, he forgives me. But, you know, this is where I am, and yeah, I'll come into the place of worship and, oh, yeah, ooh, yes, nice presence of God. But, you know, that's as far as I can go. Now, why is it that people think like that? Because they're carrying this pack, and actually you cannot get into that place with a backpack. So, what's in this? Sin? Any sin? Uncleanness? Impurity. Desire to please myself. Live for my own ends. I'm inadequate. I'm a failure. I always fail. I'm unworthy. I'm unacceptable. That's a big one. I don't even like myself, so why should others like me? Why should God want me? Done it again. Same old thing. Same old failure. The enemy just has a go at me. You could add all kinds of other things. Believe it or not, those books weigh just on 20 pounds, which is the weight you're allowed to take on your suitcase when you go on an airline. You imagine carrying around all day on your back the weight that you want to put in the hold of the aircraft. But you see, spiritually speaking, that's what people do. It's not just what they've done, but they carry all these negative attitudes about themselves. What does that mean? It means that the enemy can easily put us into bondage, can easily deceive us, and to say, you don't belong there. What, you appear before God holy, blameless, perfect? Come on, be real. Just look at yourself. Just look at all those unclean desires, thoughts. Look at all that inadequacy and failure. No way can you get from here to there. But what does the scripture say? Cast your sin on the Lord so he forgives it. Sickness, cast your burden on the Lord. Doesn't it, you've got to be healed before you get through there? In fact, that's the place where you're going to get healed, not here. But cast your burden on the Lord. There's the sickness. Here's the grief. Because there's no grief there. And he bore our grief and carried our sorrow. So there goes the grief. What other burdens are there? The relationships you're struggling with, cast them on the Lord. The sense of inadequacy, of failure, Lord, you know, but I am what you have made me, not what the devil tells me. And so you go on, because the scripture says, not cast some of your burdens on the Lord, cast them all on the Lord, the whole jolly lot. This is my cricket library, yes, my God. I knew it'd come in handy for something one day. So praise God. If I know that I can cast all that on the Lord, I don't need my backpack. I can enter in with a sincere heart and in full assurance of faith. Why? Because all that stuff is about me. This place is all about him. And that's what transforms me. When I've got the revelation of him, not the revelation of myself and feel sorry for myself because I'm this, that, and the other, or because this has happened to me and that's happened to me and this person's done that and this event has happened, this trauma has taken place. So when I come out of there, I don't need to take this back with all that stuff. However, I don't live in cloud cuckoo land. So while I'm in there, I'm fit for purpose. God can do just about anything with me and in me and through me. When I come out, I'm fit, I'm ready, I'm strong. God, nothing is impossible for you, and all things are possible for those who have faith. But we all get dirty with use. Hello? And so, you know, as the day goes on, you might find that you're carrying something, but, I mean, it's not the same as that. You know, this is of another order, really. I mean, you know, there's that little bit of sin. Praise God. He does cleanse it. There's that wrong thought and that wrong attitude, praise God. I don't have to carry a weight of guilt and shame about it because He forgives me immediately. Oh yes, there's the aches and pains that I have to just come and against in the name of Jesus. Yeah, and things happen to me, you know, traumas and things like that. But Paul says these are the light and momentary afflictions. And they don't become something heavy if I cast them on the Lord right at the beginning. So, I mean, the weight of this thing is nothing. No matter what accumulates, it doesn't need to accumulate for long. It never becomes something big and heavy like that. They weighed 20 pounds. When I put this on my scales at home, wouldn't even register. I thought, yes, I like that. Better not to have a backpack at all, but I mean, you know, we've got to live in the real world. Now, something interesting here, because Jesus made a very, very important statement, because what's God talking to us about? About being fit for purpose. And He said a very interesting thing in our relationship to other people. He said, how can you possibly take the speck out of someone else's eye when you got a log in your own? You better take the log out of your eye first, then you will see clearly to take the speck of dust out of somebody else's eye. Now, if we just sort of put that in these terms, how can you be burdened down by all this stuff in your life and think you can then go and remove other people's burdens? Get rid of your own burden first, and then you are free to go and get rid of other people's burdens. In other words, get fit for service. It's no use knowing that God is sending you, knowing that you go in His name, if you're being weighed down and held back by all kinds of other things, attitudes, negativity about yourself that saps you of confidence and makes you feel you can't go. Or if you do go, nothing much is going to happen. Because if you are being weighed down by stuff, then how can you relieve other people of their burdens? There's a spiritual principle here. That if you are living in freedom, you are going to be a catalyst that will lead other people into freedom. If there's that joy of the Lord, then that joy is going to be a witness to others, and they are going to want a piece of the joy. But if you look all dowdy and frumpy and negative and morose, then why should anybody hear what you say? Or even believe what you say? Because the way you are and the way you sound and the things that you say are nothing like the truth of the gospel. So, it's good. Every time we come together here, no backpacks. All the burdens are on the Lord. No sin, because we're forgiven. No negative attitudes, because we're washed in the blood of Christ. And the scripture says we're clothed with Christ. Yes. and we can come through the new and living way, and yes, I'm at one with Him. Now, when I come through that doorway, what am I going to do? Well, I might not be able to stand for long. I might be on my knees, I might be on my face, because I'm in the Holy of Holies and I'm worshiping the Holy One. You see, I actually forget about myself, which is just about the biggest blessing you can ever have. You spend the rest of your life thinking about yourself, worrying about yourself. You forget about yourself because you're so taken up with Him. And just like the host of heaven, because of course you're joining in with the host of heaven. They're all here. Can't you see them? 10,000 times, 10,000. They're all around me now. But they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And they're all bowing down, and the elders and the creatures before the throne, they're all bowing down as they say, "Holy, holy, holy." Because they know how great and mighty and wonderful and holy He is. But this is also the place of glory, you know, with this wonderful light, and I can stand and I can shout His praises just like they do in heaven. Something is going to happen to me every time I worship in that place. It's not that I'm necessarily going to say, "Oh, He's just done a boo. A new number on me." I mean, sometimes that happens. He did a new number on me during this past week. But I mean, you just get changed because you're with Him. You're at one with Him. And as you come out of that place, yeah, you've got no backpack. And yes, you may accumulate one or two bits and pieces, but you can get rid of them before you go to bed that night. So you keep yourself free. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. And the only thing, actually, that keeps you from this is either an unwillingness to repent, which is like saying, "Well, I don't really want to be like Jesus." Or your unbelief, which is, "I don't believe I could ever come into that place. I don't believe what the Word of God says. I don't really believe what Jesus has done for me. I don't really believe that I'm a new creation. I don't really believe that I can cast all my burdens on the Lord. I don't really believe that the Lord loves me like that." That doesn't seem a very intelligent way to proceed for someone who's had their eyes open to the truth, does it? So, today, we're going to move in. That's why we only had a very short time of worship, because we're going to worship again in a moment. But what we're going to do is we're going to get rid of all this stuff. Whether you've got a big backpack or a small backpack, you're going in there without any backpack. Praise God. We cast all that stuff on the Lord. And when you come out of there, He doesn't give it back to you. It's gone. And this whole process of being transformed into His likeness has taken another step forward. So this is why, not just this morning, but every week, what we're going to be doing is, when we start to pray at 9 o'clock, we're going to move into this place, so that as people come in, you just get into the flow of worship that is already happening here. And there's going to be such a tangible sense of the presence of God that people will be able to meet personally with the Lord. I mean, even unconverted people will come in and will meet with God. Why? Because so much light will be streaming to where they are, even if they got a backpack on, that they'll soon want to get rid of the backpack. When they came, they might not have realized it was possible, but when they see the freedom and the way people are able to enjoy the Lord all around them, then they too will be set free. But the great thing, my friends, is this. As we keep encountering God, we will stay fit for purpose. And all the way through the week, we will be able to fulfill the purpose of God. And we shall see more and more people being delivered and set free from all the burdens that have weighed them down and make life, if not impossible, at least difficult. Aren't you glad He set you free? So there's just one question I want to ask you to finish with. Do you want to be like Jesus? Pack free. Burden free. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's have the band and singers forward, because we're going to worship God now. Hallelujah. Let's just stand and close our eyes. Now I want you to see yourself just standing in the room next to His glory. That's where we are at present. And we're going to move into the glory. We're going to move into the Holy of Holies. We're going to be in the Spirit. Not just having the Spirit, but in the Spirit. So let's cast our burdens on the Lord. Just take that backpack off your back and unload it. Whether you've had a big one that's heavy or a light one, in either case, unpack it now. Whatever sins need to be forgiven, just as you close your eyes, just talk to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you. You can't do anything to achieve your forgiveness except ask God. And His mercy, His forgiveness, is His gift. Scripture says that as we draw near to the throne of God with sincere hearts and full assurance of faith, we come right to the throne of grace, where we are able to receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. You see, you lay the needs before the Lord before you go into the place of glory, and then the Scripture says He meets the need in the place of glory, from before His throne. There we find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. If you've been carrying one of those heavy books of feeling just unworthy and inadequate, just cast that away now. Throw it away and begin to say, thank you, Lord, that when you died on the cross, you did everything that was necessary to make me worthy in your sight. That you have dealt with that sense of failure, of frustration, where I have such a negative view of myself. I'm just throwing away all those attitudes now. because I'm going to have the renewed mind of a renewed believer that believes the truth. And I'm not going to be weighed down by those wrong thoughts of myself, and I'm not going to listen to any of the lies and accusations of the enemy that tells me I'm no good, I'm useless, I'm a failure, God couldn't use me, he wouldn't want me near his throne, he wouldn't want me anywhere near him. Those are all lies, and I reject them immediately in the name of Jesus. I am a child of the glory. He called me, he chose me, he predestined me in love to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, and he's transforming me into his likeness with ever increasing glory, and that is his will for me by the Holy Spirit. And I affirm that afresh this morning. I belong to the glory. I'm a child of the light, not of the darkness. Now, let's just be radical about the sin, shall we? The light of Jesus says, if your eye is the lamp of your body, have you been misusing it? Have you been looking at darkness so you filled yourself with darkness instead of light? In which case, yes, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you, but you've got to get the darkness out, haven't you? And you know, the only way that the darkness is out is by the light coming in. Yeah, God forgives us for allowing the darkness, but you've still got to let the light in. And the light is the truth. And that light can shine so readily and easily into our hearts and lives when we move into the holy place, into the place of glory, the place of light. Hallelujah. So why don't you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be full of light. I thank you that you've anointed me, but Lord, I want more than anointing, because you said that you came to give me the fullness of life, and I want your fullness. I want the fullness of light. I want the fullness of life. I want the fullness of love. I want the fullness of acceptance. I want the fullness of power. I want every aspect of your fullness that you came to give me, so that I am fully like Jesus as much as I possibly can be in this mortal body. That's my desire, Lord. That's my longing. I want to see your purpose fulfilled so that I'm more and more like you. Okay, lay that grief down, the sorrow. Now, most grief is feeling sorry for ourselves. You see, it's a way of focusing on self, isn't it? And the scripture is clear, he carried our grief and our sorrow. Now the world will tell you it's natural to have a natural grieving process and all that. Well, I've lost relatives, and I praise God that you don't have to go through a prolonged season of grief. The things that have hurt me most is when people have betrayed me, hurt me, in that kind of way. And God showed me once, you know, those things hurt you because they cause a grief in your life. But I have carried the grief, so you don't have to carry it. That doesn't have to be on your back. So cast that grief onto him now. And as you enter in to the glorious place, you'll be surprised how God will undertake for you. It doesn't matter what you're grieving about. There can be all kinds of different circumstances where in some way we feel sorry for ourselves. Come on, God wants to deliver us from all that self-pity. Hallelujah. All the sadness, whatever it is that's causing you sadness. Come on, cast the sadness on the Lord, because sadness is a burden. That's what he means by sorrow. Grief is when you grieve. Sorrow is when you feel sad. Well, he took all your sadness to the cross. And all the things that make you feel sad are therefore dealt with. Come on, you can cast them on the Lord this morning. When you cast them on the Lord, it means you hand the burden over to him. You don't then take it back again. You say, right, Lord, your word says I'm to cast all my cares upon you. And I'm disobedient if I don't do that. So I'm casting this care of grief. I'm casting this care of sorrow. I'm casting this care of sadness onto you today. And all those things that have caused me to feel like that, I'm casting them on you. I'm giving you the burden. I'm taking these things off my back and I'm putting them on your back. And I'm being yoked with you. And I thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, because now you are taking the pressure for all these things, and I give you glory. Now, what about the sickness? That's a burden. Whatever it is, cast it on the Lord. Don't just say, oh God, heal me. No, come on. Cast the burden on the Lord. Lord, I just give this sickness over to you. You died, you took it upon yourself when you died on the cross. You bore my infirmities and carried my sicknesses. So I'm laying the burden of this sickness, I'm laying the burden of this infirmity upon you now. And I believe, Lord, that as I enter into that Holy of Holies, as I come before the throne of grace, where I find mercy and grace to help me in my time of need, I thank you that your healing virtue will flow into my life. And every time I enter into that place with you, more and more of your healing grace will impact my life. And I give you glory, Lord. Now thank the Lord that he's taken away the burden of shame and of failure and inadequacy. Oh, hallelujah. God promises that we will not be ashamed. Stop looking at yourself and feeling ashamed, because as you enter into that place this morning, you are clothed with Christ, and in Christ there is no shame. And you are living in Christ, and in Christ there is no shame, there is no fear. Cast those fears upon the Lord. Why? Because his perfect love casts out all fear. Just cast these fears on the Lord. Any other burden? Relationships? Problems in marriage? Problems with a child? Problems at school? College? Whatever. Cast them upon the Lord. Give him the problem. Because when you give him the problem, it becomes his problem, not your problem. And who knows that God does not carry problems? He only carries solutions. So when you give him the problem, there is the beginning of the solution. You give him the sickness, there's the beginning of the answer. You give him the sorrow, there's the beginning of the answer. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking to you about the stuff that works. Not spiritual theory, but what God does. And just thank him that he's transforming you into his likeness from glory to glory. And thank him that you don't have to carry all this stuff around in your backpack this week. These things are off your back once and for all. He is the healer in spirit, soul, that means in your mind, in your thinking, in your emotions, your feelings, and in your body. He is a total healer in every aspect of your life. Come on, give him glory. Hallelujah. We praise you. Now you see, when God first taught me about this stuff many years ago, and he taught me about this room next to the glory and then the glory, he said, just take that backpack off and throw it in the corner. Never
to take it up again and then just go with freedom. Right, have you taken off your backpack? Come on then, we're going to enter in now. Don't stop just because you get a little sense of the glory as you approach the open door. Jesus says, I am the gate. My sheep go in and find, and they're out and they find pasture. So you're going to pass through Jesus into the presence of God. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Just begin to worship him now then.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.